How much you risk? Your life. My life. I scoff. You're that eager to be rid of me. Speak and they will listen, she urges. It is that bloody simple. All ears yearn for a voice to lead them through darkness. Grand. So I'll hang with a troop. I am my father's son. You won't hang. I laugh too harshly. So certain a wife I have. I'll hang. You're not meant to be a martyr. Sighing, she lies back in disappointment. You wouldn't see the point to it. Oh? Well then tell me, Eo, what is the point to dying? I'm only a martyr, son, so tell me what that man accomplished by robbing me of a father. Tell me what good comes of all that bloody damn sadness. Tell me why it's better I learned to dance from my uncle than my father. I go on. Did his death put food on your table? Did it make any of our lives any better? Dying for a cause doesn't do a bloody damn thing. It just robbed us of his laughter. I feel the tears burning my eyes. It just stole away a father and a husband. So what if life isn't fair? If we have family, that is all that should matter. She licks her lips and takes her time in replying. Death isn't empty like you say it is. Emptiness is life without freedom, Darrow. Emptiness is living chained by fear, fear of loss, of death. I say we break those chains. Break the chains of fear, and you break the chains that bind us to the goals, to the society. Could you imagine it? Mars could be ours. It could belong to the colonists who slaved here, died here. Her face is easier to see as night fades through the clear roof. It is alive, on fire. If you led the others to freedom, the things you could do, Darrow, the things you could make happen. She pauses, and I see her eyes are glistening. It chills me. You have been given so, so much, but you set your sights so low. You repeat the same damn points, I say bitterly. You think a dream is worth dying for. I say it isn't. You say it's better to die on your feet. I say it's better to live on our knees. You're not even living, she snaps. We are machine men with machine minds, machine lives, and machine hearts, I ask. That's what I am? Darrow, what do you live for? I ask her suddenly. Is it for me? Is it for family and love? Or is it for some dream? It's not just some dream, Darrow. I live for the dream that my children will be born free, that they will be what they like, that they will own the lands their father gave them. I live for you, I say sadly. She kisses my cheek. Then you must live for more. There's a long, terrible silence that stretches between us. She does not understand how her words wrench my heart, how she can twist me so easily. Because she does not love me like I love her. Her mind is too high, mine too low. Am I not enough for her? You said you had another gift for me, I say, changing the subject. She shakes her head. Some other time. The sun rises. Watch it with me once at least. We lie in silence and watch the light slip into the sky as though it were a tide made from fire. It is unlike anything I could have dreamed of. I can't stop the tears that well in the corners of my eyes as the world beyond turns to light, and the greens and browns and yellows of the trees in the room are revealed. It is beauty. It is a dream. I am silent as we return to the grimness of the grey duct. The tears linger in my eyes, and as the majesty of what I saw fades, I wonder what Io wants of me. Does she want me to take my sling blade and start a rebellion? I would die. My family would die. She would die. And nothing would make me risk her. She knows that. I am puzzling out what her other gift may be when we exit the ducts for the Webbery. I roll first from the duct and extend a hand back to her when I hear a voice. It is accented, oily, from Earth.
"Reds in our gardens," it oozes. "Ain't that a thing?"
Chapter 5. The First Song. Ugly Dan stands with three tin pots, their thumpers perch crackling in their hands. Two of the men lean on the metal rails of the Webbery's girders. Behind them, the women of Mu and Upsilon wrap silk from the worms around long silver poles. They shake their heads insistently at me, as if telling me not to be foolish. We've gone beyond the permitted zones. This will mean a flogging. But if I resist, it'll mean death. They will kill Io, and they will kill me.
"Darrow," Io murmurs.
I set myself between Io and the tin pots, but I don't fight. I won't let us die for a simple glimpse of the stars. I put my hands out to let them know I will surrender.
"Hell divers," Ugly Dan chuckles to the others. "The toughest ant is yet but an ant."
He swings his thumper into my stomach. It's like being bitten by a viper and kicked by a boot. I fall gasping, hands on the metal grate. Electricity slithers through my veins. I taste the bile rising in my throat.
"Take a swing, hell diver," Dan coos.
He drops one of the thumpers in front of me.
"Please, take a swing. Won't be any consequences. Just some fun between the boys. Take a piggin' swing."
"To us, Darrow!"
Io shouts. I'm not a fool. I thrust my hands up in surrender, and Dan sighs in disappointment as he clacks the magnetic manacles around my wrists. What would Io have had me do?